We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Poland won't be arming Ukraine anymore amid a row over grain imports. Hello, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks so much for tuning in. Poland has been one of Ukraine's staunchest allies since Russia's full-scale invasion last year, welcoming more than a million refugees and helping to supply a stream of weapons. But now the Polish government has announced it will no longer provide its neighbour with arms. And the trigger for that was the decision by Poland to maintain a ban on Ukrainian grain imports to protect its own farmers. Radacki Kurski is former Polish Foreign and Defence Minister and current member of the European Parliament. He says that Poland's decision to stop supplying weapons to Ukraine is a mistake.
We have a nasty general election next month, but Ukraine, supporting Ukraine, is one of the few issues on which we have national consensus. And I don't know why this is happening, but we can already see that Moscow is delighted. People are still hoping that this war will somehow go away, and it's not going away.
Adam Easton is the BBC's correspondent in Warsaw, and he says it might not mean a complete halt in arms supplies from Poland.
The grain embargo that Poland has extended, it's not accepting any Ukrainian grain, ostensibly to stop a flood of cheaper Ukrainian grain entering the country and undercutting the price of Polish grain, because we do have an election in October and the government is counting on the rural vote, the vote of farmers, to win that election. And there's certainly some disquiet amongst the Polish government officials that President Zelensky at the United Nations General Assembly appear to suggest that this grain embargo is supporting Russia. And I think there's been some umbrage taken, and that has ratcheted up the sort of rhetoric that we're hearing. But what Mr. Morawiecki, the Prime Minister, actually said was Poland is no longer transferring any military weapons to Ukraine now. And that is true, because Poland has already sent 320 of its Soviet-era tanks to Ukraine. It's already sent 14 MiG fighter jets. It doesn't have any more of those weapons in its stockpiles to send to Ukraine. I don't see this as a change in government position in terms of helping to arm Ukraine. In fact, there's a Polish arms manufacturer which right now is fulfilling a contract to supply about 60 Krab howitzers to Ukraine, which will be sent to Ukraine in the coming months and over the next year. So there will be Polish military arms going to Ukraine, but this is a private deal. It's done not from the government in terms of donation. Ukraine is paying for those howitzers.
That was Adam Easton there. Now, let's do the numbers. Later today, we'll see if the Bank of England will follow the Fed and hold rates or not. Either way, sterling is down ahead of the decision, and European and Asian markets and oil prices are all down after the Fed warned there could be more rate hikes on the horizon. India is working on a new electric vehicle policy that would slash import taxes for automakers that commit to some local manufacturing. And one of the reasons is to entice Tesla to set up a factory there. But does India have enough production and charging facilities for these cars? The BBC's Davina Gupta reports.
India's EV market is complex. Last financial year, over 1 million electric vehicles were sold here. But electric cars are still trailing in this. Over 90% of those sales came from two-wheelers and three-wheelers. Anindya Upadhyay is a clean energy analyst and has been following the trends in this market closely.
India is a very price-sensitive market. So in developed countries, people start off with luxury cars. But that's not the case in India. It has started off with two-wheelers and three-wheelers. And these two-wheelers and three-wheelers are going to dominate the electric vehicle landscape in India.
Just like 35-year-old Abhimanyu Garg, I caught up with him when he was getting ready for a ride on his black e-bike.
It actually helps you cut through traffic in no time.
But Abhimanyu, how do you manage when there is a power shortage?
Yes, we do have to keep a car on standby.
Have you ever thought of buying an electric car?
Yes, I have thought about it. I'm just waiting for something more suitable to present itself, because right now I think the range of these cars is somewhat restrictive. In the city, you'll still find charging points or you can charge at your own house. But if you're farther away from your house, then you're in uncharted territories, because you don't know when the car will sort of give in.
It's clearly a tough market for electric car manufacturers, but it seems they are up for the challenge. Big car brands like Tata, Mahindra, Hyundai have all launched their EV variants here. So what makes them bet big on Indian consumers? I asked Gaurav Gupta, who is the Deputy Managing Director of MG Motor India, which has introduced two electric cars in this country.
So if I give some numbers, and that will really help us to see where the direction is moving. In the year 2019, approximately 2,000 cars or passenger vehicles were sold, which were electric vehicles. Fast forward 2022, despite 2 years of COVID, that number had multiplied 25 times approximately to a 50,000 car sales in the annual year.
I'm the BBC's Devina Gupta for Marketplace.
And news just in, India's official visa processor in Canada says it's been told to stop handling applications due to operational reasons. That comes amid a growing diplomatic row between the two countries. We'll keep an eye out for that one for you. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.